heal my friend. I could use more money. You know, we get this laundry list of things. God, give me, give me, give me. I need this from you. Can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? And maybe if we're looking, we sneak in a little bit of confession and repentance. But to just wait and listen? You know, we often forget that prayer is meant to be a conversation, not a monologue. You ever had a conversation with somebody and they're just blah, 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 talking away about themselves, and not for 1 minute do they ask you about yourself, how you're doing, what's going on in your life? That's often how our prayer life can be. Hi, God. Anyway, so all about me. Amen. We need to leave time, we need to leave space and silence in our prayer time with the Lord. Because, you know, often a question I hear a lot, and it's one I used to ask all the time as well. Well, how can you hear from God? How do you know if he's speaking? How do you know what his voice sounds like? Well, if you want to hear from God and you want to receive guidance and direction from God, then we need to learn to listen to God. And that begins by making room for him to speak. And we make room for him to speak by creating the silence to hear. You know, there's an important place in our walk with God for what could be called holy inactivity. Holy inactivity. Of doing nothing. Just remaining open, hands open, spirit and heart open to what the Lord might be speaking to you. That holy inactivity. Remember, Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know I am God." How do we know he's God? By being still. So in verse 1, David's making a declaration, right? He's saying, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence." But then in verse 5, which is kind of the parallel verse here, he almost says the same thing, but this time it's an instruction. Verse 5. "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence." So David's talking to himself. He's saying, okay, my soul, wait in silence for the Lord. And then he adds, "For my hope is from him." God is the source of all hope. Without God, there is no hope. You know, we talked about the futility of atheism last week in Psalm 14. If you don't have God, if you don't have God in your life, you have no hope. The only hope you have is transitory. And the moment you're in the grave, it's gone. The only true source of hope is God. Psalm 119, verse 114 says, "You are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope." Romans 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope," so may the God of hope, he is the God of hope. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." And what happens when we trust him? It says, "So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So when we trust in the God of all hope, what happens? He fills us to overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is the source of our hope. No God, no hope. Why is God the source of our hope? Well, the reason is because he alone is the source of our salvation. That's where our hope lies, isn't it? Is in the saving grace of God. In fact, verse 2, which is echoed in verse 6, says three things about God. It says, "He alone is my rock, my salvation, and my fortress, and I shall not be greatly shaken." So God is our rock, he's our salvation, and he's our fortress. And notice something, it says, he alone. He alone is our rock and our salvation and our fortress. And right there, he's talking about three things with the rock, the salvation, and the fortress. He's talking about our security, our salvation, and our safety. God alone is our rock. He's unmovable. We are secure in him. God alone is our fortress. He's the one who's able to protect us and keep us safe. And God alone is our salvation through Jesus Christ. God alone, through Christ, is our salvation. We're not saved through Buddha or Muhammad or Brahman, or through healing crystals and tarot cards, or through our own ingenuity and cleverness as the human race. We are saved through Christ alone. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. He alone is my rock and my salvation and my fortress. And see what happens. See what happens when we place our security and our salvation and our safety in God's hands. What happens? I will not be greatly shaken. I will not be greatly shaking. Nothing capsizes your boat. You roll with the punches. Do you know where that expression comes from? Rolling with the punches. It's a boxing term. And what boxers learn to do is when they're fighting, right? And obviously they're absorbing lots of punches to the head. What do? Instead of meeting the punch head on, they learn to roll with the punch. They go with the trajectory of the punch. And therefore, diffuse the power of the punch. It takes all the power out when you roll with the punch. And so the punch, yes, it makes an impact, but it doesn't do any damage. I know this because I've done it myself. It really works. You can meet a punch head on, or you can go with it. One goes well, the other does not. But we roll with the punches. We're not easily or greatly shaken. And the same goes for us when we get hit with things in life. Yes, they can impact us, but we can diffuse them when we redirect that problem to God. The struggles you have in life, the things that hit you when you're down, roll with the punch and redirect it towards God. Give it to God instead of trying to take it upon yourself. Because if that happens, you'll be knocked flat on your back. But with God's strength, you can take the impact. So yes, there's some impact. We experience blows in life, things that hit us, but it doesn't take you down when you have God on your side. Sure, you might experience a little rocking here and there, but your foundation is firm because you know that God alone is your rock, your salvation, and your fortress. So when the storms of life come, and they will come, no life is stormless. We will have storms. You're not greatly shaken. When you lose your job, you're not greatly shaken. When you get sick or diagnosed with a sickness, you're not greatly shaken. When you lose a loved one, you're not greatly shaken because you know of the hope that is found in Jesus. When a pandemic comes along, you are not greatly shaken. Why? Because He alone is my rock, my salvation, and my fortress, and I will not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. He is my mighty rock. God is my refuge. That's verse 7 right there. Verse 8 goes on with more encouragement, more instruction for us. It tells us to trust Him at all times. Notice that. Not trusting God most of the time, or trusting God part of the time, or trust God when things are going good. No, trust in Him at all times, in season and out of season. That means in the good times, the bad times, that means in the boring times, the mediocre times. When times are at their worst, that is when we have to trust in God the most. And it's times like that that we need to pour our hearts out before God. How often do we do that? How often do we just pour out our hearts before God? Because the second part of verse 8 there, it says, pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. That word that's used there, that word that says pour out, it describes the complete pouring out of a liquid so that there's nothing left. There's nothing in reserve. You pour everything you have out. And my question for us is, do we pour out everything to and for God, or do we keep some in reserve? You know, I'm sure some of you have probably not been hearing much of my sermon, and you're probably instead wondering, why has he got 3 glasses of water on the pulpit there, right? Well, I'll show you. These 3 glasses represent three basic postures we can have towards God. Okay? And I want you to imagine, this is God. This is the water of life. This is the source of all life and of all goodness. And we have God. And we have the world. Notice it's dirtier and grimier. And these are the three basic postures we can have towards God and the world. So the first posture is those who pour nothing into God. They don't pour any of their heart out towards God. All they do is they pour everything into the world. And when they're done, there's nothing left. The life is over. They've poured nothing into God. They've poured everything into the world. And now they're gone. This is the life wasted. This is the empty life. Here's the second posture towards God that I would say actually is most of us. So sure, you believe in God, and I'll pour into God a little bit, but I want to keep some in reserve. It's all just mine. So, you know, I give a little to God, right? But I'm going to keep some for myself. I'm not going to pour out everything for God. I'm not going to give everything and give it all for God. And then there are those who do this. And they give every last drop to God. They pour everything out. They pour out their heart to God. They hold nothing back. They let Him into every part of their life and they give God everything. And guess what happens when you pour into God and you give Him your all? God pours into you and He fills your cup to overflowing. And He fills you far more than you could ever give to God. You know, Paul describes his life in 2 Timothy verse 4 as pouring out a drink offering to the Lord. That's what our lives are. And we have a choice. Do I give nothing to God? Do I give some, even most to God, but not everything? Or do I give everything I can? Every last drop, I pour it out. And in return, I will be filled afresh. I want to encourage you, pour everything you have out for God. Give Him everything. It's in safe hands. He will not let you down. He is our refuge. So as we're reminded and encouraged in to trust in God, to pour out our hearts to Him, that He is our rock, that He is our salvation and our fortress, the psalmist, once again, he wants to show us the giant contrast between putting our trust in God and the futility of putting our trust in the things of this world. Let me move these out of the way. So verse 9 here. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than breath. Well, you know what's funny? You want equity, you want equality. There it is. There it is. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you are high-born or low-born. Status in this life means nothing to God. He doesn't care how much money you have or how little money you have. They are together lighter than breath. When you put all that together, that is lighter than breath. So what's God saying? He's saying, in other words, there's nothing solid or substantive to put your trust in when your faith and your hope and your confidence is in the world and its people. Continues in verse 10. He sort of expounds on this a little bit. Put no trust in extortion, set no vain hopes on robbery. I always feel like he wrote that for the mafia, the mob, but... But put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. So here, if you notice, there's a focus on power gained through money. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. So if you get blessed with a lot of money, don't make that your world. God's saying, don't let your heart become attached to money. He's saying, if your main goal in life is to amass money and more money, or your life is predominantly about making money, God is telling us that it amounts to being lighter than breath. It's shallow, has no substance, and cannot give you the security, the salvation, and the safety that God alone can give us. Now, is being wealthy sinful? Of course not. If you're rich, that is not a sin. That can often be a blessing from God. But the fact is, if you make money the source of your hope, as your main focus, that's all you're concerned with, God is saying that is like the breath of the air. It's gone here today and gone tomorrow. But once more, the focus swings back to God. If you remember that David begins this psalm by waiting in silence before the Lord, doesn't he? Waits in silence for the Lord, listening for him to speak. Well, now the Lord speaks, and David hears. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. So just like there's only one true source of hope, there's only one true source of power and of love, and it's God. You know, what this world calls power is nothing, nothing compared to the power of God. Remember a few weeks ago we were looking at Psalm 2, and it talks about how God laughs and scoffs at the plans of the kings and the rulers of this world. They're nothing to God. Their power is nothing compared to God's power. And it's the same for love. What this world calls love, which, by the way, we often confuse with sentimentality and lust, that's nothing compared to the love of God. And again, we're getting this contrast, aren't we? Do you put your trust in the power of this world or in the power of God? Do you want the love that this world has to offer with all its fickleness, or do you want the love that God can give us? That love that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's love. That's true love. And if love could be defined by a shape, it would be the shape of the cross. This whole psalm is about a choice. Trusting in the world or trusting in God. And one will inevitably let you down, and probably more than once, while the other will never leave you, will never forsake you, and is your rock, your salvation, and your fortress. So there's a lot we could take away from this psalm today, but I want to highlight three things that I think might be helpful for you in your own lives. Firstly, leave space in your prayer life for silence. You got to do step one first, which is have a prayer life. All right? But then, once you have a prayer life, leave space for silence to wait and to listen for God to speak to you. Remember that prayer is meant to be a conversation, not a monologue. Secondly, meditate on God. That's what David did here. He's meditating on God, on his glory, on his attributes, his characteristics, especially when you're going through difficult times. Remind yourself often, remind yourself daily that God alone is your rock, your salvation, and your fortress. And then thirdly, pour out your heart to God. Don't hold anything back. Give it all to him. You are safe in his arms. And if you do that, you will see God pour into your life like never before. Let's pray.